And some of us are grateful for the free air conditioning. Before we begin with the lesson, I have an announcement. Some of you came in the back door, so you didn't get to see it. But up by the front door is a tree with some cards on it with for Love, Inc. Love, Inc. stands for Love in the Name of Christ, and it's a group that we have, as a church, have partnered with. And we get services for our members through them, and in return, we help support them. Well, their yearly fundraiser is going on right now, and what there are is tags on the tree for home repairs, life skills training, mentorships, Christian counseling, transportation. And what they would like you to do is take one of those tags off the tree, pick a ministry that you would like to support, and put the tag with your check into the box. And in my opinion, one of the greatest things about donating to this particular organization is that 100% of your check, your donation, will go to the ministry that you wanted to support, not to administration. But that tree is in the front. It's by the front table. All right. This morning, I would like to talk about Dorcas or Tabitha. And I would love for that monitor to come back on. Now, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, because that's where we're going to spend most of this morning. Most of us have a desire to do something meaningful with our life, to make a difference, and to be significant. But God has placed that desire in our heart. And the good news is that for each of us, He has created a purpose beforehand for us to do. And one of the ways that we find joy as Christians is figuring out what our purpose is and then doing that. Amen. Now, Dorcas is from Joppa. That's right here, just to sort of give you a rough idea of where you are in the world. By the way, this city still exists. It's not quite as large of a seaport as it once was, but you know that city as Tel Aviv. It's in the news quite a bit. Let's see. There was a Christian church at Joppa, and Dorcas was a disciple as a result of believers coming to her area and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. You'll learn more about that in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. There is some significance to her name. Verse 36 tells us that in Aramaic it's Tabitha, and in Greek it's Dorcas. In Greek, that word means gazelle or antelope, which is a graceful creature. Now, verse 36 also tells us that she's a disciple. The name disciple was applied to the early followers of the Lord Jesus. The disciple is a learner, one who sits at the feet and learns from Christ. And in the way which the word was used in Acts, that word means that a disciple was a Christian. Now, to be a disciple means that you have accepted the Lord's authority, you have accepted His lordship, and you have decided you are going to do His will. Well, true significance comes from having that relationship with God and being His child. We live in a world that seeks significance in a number of ways. Some of us want prominence or possessions or pleasure. And those things in and of themselves are not bad things, but they're temporary. They don't have eternal value for us. What matters most is knowing God and living to love Him and please Him. And that counts for eternity. Jesus Himself said a number of times that many people who seem to be first in this life will be last in eternity. And many people who seem last in this life will be first or significant in eternity. You can find that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 30, and Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. We need to be living our lives from a more eternal perspective. Acts chapter 9 verse 36 says that Dorcas was always doing good and helping the poor. Now once you start following Jesus, something happens and you become a different person. Your focus changes. You have a change of heart. And you no longer live just for yourself, but you have a heart of compassion to help others. You begin to follow in the steps of Jesus who went about doing good. And that's taken from Acts chapter 10 verse 38. We're not saved by works, and that's important. But we are saved to do good works for the benefit of others. God has a unique contribution for each one of us to make, and part of our significance comes from the difference we make in the lives of others. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Where we read, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The Christian life is not just about knowing theology or doctrine. That's important, but that's not what it's all about. The Christian life is not all about being a certain kind of person. That's important, but that's not all of it. The Christian life also involves going around and doing good things with our lives. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, you see, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Excuse me, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Those good deeds, what are you doing? Well, in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "In everything set them an example by doing what is good, and in your teaching show integrity and seriousness." Now, them is the people to whom Titus is ministering. What is he supposed to do? Something good. What does that mean? We're getting to it. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, it says, "Command those who are rich." Now, if you're reading along in your Bible, what it says in your Bible is "them." I'm just giving you the context with the stuff in the hard brackets there. "Command them, those who are rich, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." Do you know that every single one of us is rich compared to somebody else? Do you understand that rich is a relative term? And you say, "Well, I'm not rich. There are richer folks than me." Yes, that's true. I, at this point in my life, have absolutely no aspirations of reaching Bill Gates' level of wealth. I'm just guessing it's not going to happen. But do you know that there are a lot of people in the world that I'm better off than? I don't need to help Bill Gates. I need to help the people who are not as well off as I am. Because I was blessed. I have a beautiful family. I have a house. I have a car. And I can use all of those things to bless other people who are not as well off as I am. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And you know what? That's one of the reasons we had the announcement this morning about Love Incorporated. One of the good deeds you can do is help other folks help other folks help themselves. That's one of the other reasons that we help Love Incorporated, is because one of the things they require is that you be willing to help yourself. You know what? Some of it, we fall on hard times due to circumstances beyond our control. And we need a help. But we need to be willing to change our lives to not be there anymore. And that's one of the things Love Inc. does, is helps people to move on. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." Pagans. It had a different meaning than it does now, but basically we're talking about people who don't worship God. People need to be able to see your life and see that your life is different from theirs. Why? Because you are able to bless other people with your life. The world needs to be a better place because we are in it. It is a part of our worship to God. Service is a vital part of our witness because it reflects who God is. What did Jesus say about why he came? To seek and save the lost. Is that not a service? Is that not doing good? It's important to realize that it is not doing the good works that save us, but it is the foundation of our existence. It is making a decision to accept the forgiveness of our sins from Jesus our Savior and making Him our leader and our Lord. Good works are the result of a salvation. They're not the basis of it. They're not the cause of it. Are you a follower of Christ? If not, I'll give you an opportunity at the end of my talk to be one. Because He calls all of us every day to come and follow Him. Look back in verse 36 of chapter 9. Because it tells us that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Notice that she was a doer, not a talker. In verse 39, we are told about the particular ministry that she occupied most of her time with. She made robes and other clothing. And I will confess to you that in Bible classes when I was young, most of the robes were drab and they were brown and they fit like potato sacks. So I did some research. This is period clothing. I have no idea why this woman has a scowl, but it's not because her clothes are ugly. It fascinated me as I was doing the research on the clothing, and there's only one slide of the clothing. But, gentlemen, you'll forgive me this sexist comment. Well, I'm going to guess most of y'all have never spent long enough with a needle to do that in a piece of cloth. I can tell you that while I sew, I've never spent long enough with a needle to do that. That kind of thread work takes a lot of time. And it's beautiful. This is what Dorcas is doing with her time. The interesting thing about this activity is, do you know that to fit somebody right for clothing, they have to be there with you? What do you suppose she talked about while she was sewing? Just conjecture. Her needle is small, but it's a useful thing. It's a ministry that is acceptable to God and that has brought comfort and relief to many of His children through the years. You'll note that Dorcas was a lady full of good works. And here is a needful lesson, that no one can ever be saved by works, but works are useful. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, we read, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And Dorcas knew that. Now, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, we read, "He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." But the obligation of every saved person is to be like Dorcas and do good works because we are grateful for the salvation that we received. In James chapter 2, verse 14, this is a long one if you want to flip there. In the book of James chapter 2, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their needs, what good is it?" You know, as a child, I would read that verse and think, that is like the stupidest thing I've ever read. But do you know, as I grew up, I have heard people say that and walk by people? Well, I hope somebody feeds you, and they walk on by. I was with a group that I was a much younger man. We were walking the streets of Nashville at the time. There was a man standing there in nothing but a garbage sack that he had punched a hole in the top and through the sides, and that was what he was wearing for clothing. And somebody in the group said, boy, I hope somebody gives him some clothes. And we walked on. Did the well wishes do that man a single bit of good? It does happen. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Well, good. Because even the demons believe that, and they shudder. Doesn't mean they're doing any good works. But they believe there's a God. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And then a much shorter passage in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Oops, sorry. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We have, as a church, for many years, supported Mount Dora. They have an orphanage, they have a school, they have a lot of different things, but largely what we support as a church is the orphanage. I know that Brother Dwayne has taken on the leadership for that. And if you'd like to know more about supporting orphanages, or just the one that we support, chat with Dwayne. If for some reason you choose not to support that orphanage, and you'd like to know about different orphanages, chat with Mrs. Kahn. She can name you a few. There are lots of opportunities to support orphanages. And you will please forgive me because somewhere I have gotten lost. Dorcas is known for her good deeds. We don't have any record of her writings. She didn't write any books. To the best of our knowledge, she didn't preach any formal sermons. It was her life that made her significant. She devoted herself to doing good and to acts of charity that benefited the needy and the less fortunate. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, whose life is better off because we are here? What good thing or kind word or helpful deed have we done? Dorcas made clothes for widows who lived in her city. Widows in her time period had a hard time getting jobs to buy food, let alone other things they needed. But Dorcas was able to come to their rescue. She was a disciple who was strategically placed in the right place at the right time to minister to those needs. And you too have been strategically placed where you are. Show compassion, as Dorcas did. And why? Okay, that was the James and John. Sorry. John, 1 John chapter 3, Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. For this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. We need to rise above our own limitations. We can be tempted to feel that our efforts wouldn't make a difference anyway. There may have been lots of things that Dorcas couldn't do, but she didn't focus on what she couldn't do. She looked at what was in her hands. Do you remember when God called Moses and had told him to help rescue the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses had a lot of excuses. He had a list of reasons why he shouldn't go. And in the end, God said to Moses, "What's in your hand?" Moses said, "A rod." Now, as a shepherd, that rod would have been with him all the time. God said, "Throw it down." And do you know that when he threw that rod down, it became a tool of God? If you'd actually like to see what happened to that rod, go read the story. It's an interesting story. What did Dorcas have in her hand? She had a needle. She could sew, she could make clothes, and apparently she did it very well. She loved to do what she did. She didn't allow her limitations to hold her back. She didn't belittle what she had. Now, there are probably lots of things she couldn't do, but she did what she could do. She took what was in her hand and used it to meet the needs of people around her. Do you need to be able to sew? I don't know. But the answer to serve God is no. But you do need to be able to look in your hand and see how to serve. What are your skill sets? How can you help other people? Dorcas didn't just help one person one time. She made it a lifestyle. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, it says she was always doing good and helping the poor. As we serve and help others, we need to make that a lifestyle of helping others. It's something we do for that long haul. And you know what? It's true that as we get older, there are some ministries we just can't do anymore or shouldn't do anymore. We got some brothers here who do a lot of things who shouldn't be doing. We've got some brothers climbing up on roofs who should stop that. Y'all are laughing. Some of us who are a little younger need to be climbing up on those roofs. But they have skill sets that they use to bless this church. Our ministries will change from time to time and from season of life to season of life. But we need to keep on keeping on. When Dorcas died, she left a legacy of lives that she had touched with God's love. Dorcas was a significant woman. She was a woman so great in her community that they couldn't bear to lose her to death. Look over in Acts chapter 9, verse 39. When she became sick, her good work stopped and the church was distressed. They were willing to go to great lengths to bring her back because she was so wonderful to lose. When you die, are people going to mourn your death because you were such a great person? Her godly works were put on display. And you need to ask yourself, what will you be remembered for? And it's an interesting question, and in fact, it may be a scary question. Like Dorcas, your good works are going to follow you into eternity. Look, in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." Do we live lives of significance? We need to choose to serve each day. It doesn't mean we need to learn how to sew. If you look at the whole scripture reading that you were read so capably this morning, you'll find a number of different ministries. Right after Dorcas died, we have women who came and washed her body and prepared it up in the upper room. Not everybody can do that. Some of us just get creeped out being next to dead bodies. It's not our ministry. But there are people who can. Then it says there were two men who ministered by going on the errand to Lydda to fetch Peter. Can you go fetch? Do you have the time? Minister in that way. And then Peter came. Peter had a ministry. He had a ministry of faith, a ministry of prayer. And then in verse 39 it said there were widows who ministered to him and to her when she was raised. What is your ministry? Find that and do it. There is plenty of scope for willing workers in the church of God, because everyone can't do everything, but all of us can do something. Can you be God's errand boy? Some of you will remember a poet by the name of John Milton, who toward the end of his life went blind. And he wrote a very famous poem that concludes, "Even those who stand and wait still serve." Can you exercise compassion? Can you help others with something? Then let's do those things. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That one fascinates me. Remember that Brother Paul in a different letter has to separate folks because they're self-aggrandizing with their gifts of the Spirit. And they're being told here, you know what? You weren't given those gifts for you. You were given those gifts to bless other people with them. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And to another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. God's plan is that everybody's going to help in His ministry kind of plan. It's a ministry in which every believer finds a task and does it. All that happened to Dorcas happened for the glory of God and the extension of His kingdom. Look back at verse 42 in chapter 9. Many of the people there in Joppa were impressed with this dead lady being raised from the dead. They were so impressed that they joined the church. So the things happened to turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. This morning I want us to think again about the significance of our own lives. In Titus chapter 2 that we looked at earlier, Jesus gave Himself to us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His own. Now that's us. To purify for Himself a people that are His own, eager to do what is good. Have we accepted Jesus' offer of salvation? If you've already been baptized, your answer was yes. Are we eager to do good? Well, that's a more personal question, isn't it? If not, you have the opportunity to do both of those things this morning. If you've accepted Christ, While we're singing, think about the difference that your life is making for the kingdom. Think about what your legacy is going to be. Think about those things as together we stand.